Christmas times was a drewing nigh, when the nights were long and cold, till the three little babes came running down, down to their mother's hall. She spread her table in the very first room, all covered with bread and wine. Come and eat, come and drink, my three little babes. Come and eat and drink of mine. I do not want your bread so sweet, nor none of your wine so strong, for yonder stands my Savior dear, and to him I must run. She spread her bed in the very next room, all covered with all white sheets. Come and sleep, my three little babes. Come and sleep in the bed of mine. Oh, lie me down, said the oldest one, for the cocks will soon crow for day, for yonder stands my Savior dear, when to him I must go. Oh, rise me up, said the very next one, for the cocks is crowing for day, on yonder stands my Savior dear, when to him I must go. Their older mother was a standing nigh, when she wept both, bit her lips. It's I have a save, you're now in heaven, I'll send my babes to me.
Well, that's an old
thing. Yes, I've heard my mother
sing
years
that song.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you learn that one?
I learned that. My dad sung it, John Roberts.
Oh, yes, I've heard that years ago.
Who'd you learn it from,
Shannon? Well, my dad was the first one I ever heard sing.
Your dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then John, he knowed all those songs.
Yeah, I've heard him.
And then they sung another one about, let's see, what was the name of that one? Yeah, The Ramblin' Boys.
The Ramblin' Boy. I want some fish for The Ramblin' Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
my little rapping John.
Now,
my brother.
That's like that too. Song you sung. I heard that, but I'm telling you that I was just a little...
Oh, yeah, all of my life I've heard that.
Now, them people, they sung that first ever I heard it, they could sing that.
Yeah, they could sing it. Had a good voice.
Yes. Did you ever hear that in The Ramblin' Boy?
Sing a little of it.
I once was rich, but a ramblin' boy. to a London city for to paid my fare. Spent all my money at the ballroom play. There I married me a wife. I loved her dear as I did my life. She treated me both kind and gay. She just called me to rob on the road highway. I robbed them all, I will declare. I robbed them all, them all in deep despair. I robbed them of 10,000 pounds. One night when I was a-rambling around. Well, I'll buy me a ticket from Greensville town. I'll get on the train and I'll sit down. The wheels will roll and the whistle blow. In 5 more days I'll be at home. For my mother said she weeps and mourns. My sister says she's left alone. My old true love in deep despair, with a pale red ribbon in her curly brown hair. I have blight goods to carry me through. 3 glittering swords and a pistol too. And a pretty fair girl for to pay my toll. With her diamond rings and her silver and gold. But now I am content to die. And many a poor girl for me will cry. And none of their cries won't set me free, nor keep me from they jealous tree. When I'm dead and in my grave, no more good liquor will I crave. On my tombstones I want it wrote, 10,000 gallons went down my throat. When I'm dead, don't bury me at all. Just put me away in Alky Hall. Place a gallon jug at my head and feet. You can tell them, girl, I am just asleep.
That's good.
That's the ram music I could sing.
Did they, you suppose they brought that music from Kentucky with them?
Part of it they did. Little Trampin' John used to sing.
Yeah, sing a Bangham?
Yeah.
Sing the Bangham song.
Huh?
Sing that Bangham song.
Oh, great.
Wow, I love you. Water, have me a drink of liquor.
How about a little water?
Huh?
How about a little water?
Yeah.
Okay.
Aren't you going to sing?
Sing it.
They are a wild boar in these woods, dillo dee, dillo dee. They are a wild boar in these woods, dillo dee. They are a wild boar in these woods, they'll eat your meat, he'll suck your blood, come away, throttle down, Quanzio. Bang, I made him a wooden gun, dill-o-dee, dill-o-dee. Bang, I made him a wooden gun, dill-o-dee. Bang, I made him a wooden gun, shoot that wild boar as he run. Come away, throttle down, Quanzio. Bang, I made him a butcher knife, dill-o-dee, dill-o-dee. Bang, I made him a butcher knife, dill-o-dee.
Bang, I made him a butcher knife. It's far to take that wild boar life. Come away, throttle down, Ponzio. He capped his horn up to his knee. Dill-o-dee, dill-o-dee. Capped his horn up to his knee. Dill-o-dee. He capped his horn up to his knee. Blow the blast that come to thee. Come away, throttle down, Quanzio. He capped his horn up to his mouth. Dill-o-dee, dill-o-dee. He capped his horn up to his mouth. Dill-o-dee. Capped his horn up to his mouth. He first blowed east and then blowed south. Come away, throttle down, Quanzio. That wild boar come a city dash. Dill-o-dee, dill-o-dee. That wild boar come a city dash. Dill-o-dee. That wobble come with such a dash. He cut his way through oak and ash. Come away, twaddle down, Quanzio. Bangum had his wooden gun. Dill-o-dee, dill-o-dee. Bangum had his wooden gun. Dill-o-dee. Bangum had his wooden gun and shot that wild boar as he ran. Come away, twaddle down, Quanzio. Bangum had the butcher knife. Dill-o-dee, dill-o-dee. Bangum had his butcher knife. Dill-o-dee. Bangum had his butcher knife. Right there he took that wild boar's life. Come away, twaddle down, Quanzio. Well, he tracked that wild boar to his den. Dill-o-dee, dill-o-dee. He tracked that wild boar to his den. Dill-o-dee. He tracked that wild boar to his den. And he found the bones of 1,000 men. Come away, throttle down, Quanzio. I bet you he had a hard time of counting them.
My mom
used to say that. One year, one year, one
day. Bangum had a wooden gun.
Bangum. We mounted our horses and shouldered our guns. Straight way to the wild woods we must steer to kill off the wild hogs and drive in the deer. When we got there, we rambled a while. We looked at each other, but ain't bird a smile. Sing, this ain't the same oak we pictured before. The old blue sow and the black wristed boar. The old blue sow sprang up to her feet for to run. The next thing she felt was Bob Porter's old gun. The cow hides will crack and the water will roar. Your back is will ache till it's perfectly sore. That's Bob Porter.
What's the name of that?
Bob Porter.
Bob Porter.
There's a lot more to that than I don't
know. Yes, there's more to it.
My mother used to sing it. Yes, sir.
But now, your fellow's dad could sing that bang and made him a wooden gun.
Yeah.
Now, you're not a kid.
Yeah.
Reminds me a little bit of the story that Smith told about your grandpa, Jess, when the bear was charging him. And he had to load, he shot the bear once.
Oh, yeah, that was a cub he shot.
And he had to load his gun again.
Yeah.
While,
yeah.
Oh, no.
I had to load with a naked bullet. You couldn't patch it, didn't have time to patch it.
That was an old muzzle loader.
Yeah, yeah.
Earl.
Shot a cub, you know.
Yeah.
Then she come, you know.
The old mother. I'm
dating. What did he do? What did he do?
Right,
he ran around a tree backwards loading the gun.
She'd whip this cub up a tree, you see, when she first found him out, you see, smelled him or saw him, and then she left it, you see. Well, then he just shot the cub, you see. And when he shot the cub, it squalled, you see, and then she come right back, see what was wrong, you see. And then she saw him and come right for him. But he never shot her. I reckon he was afraid to. You know, they use patches on them to make them tighten the barrel till they'd shoot harder or real close. And he didn't have time to patch it, you see, and he just loaded, put a naked bullet in, so it wasn't patched.
I've seen
my dad. Did he get away?
Huh?
Did he get away?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had a barrel one time to attack me.
I had a hard time making it.
What did you do?
Huh?
What did you do?
Well, it's pretty hard to stand, but I had to stay there. See, I was working for the conservation then. You know, this fella down here, he can tell you, Joe Roy, all about it. I was on Cranberry at the Glades. We was working there, and we'd brung our plows and a tractor and everything up to the old John Roberts place where Emmy used to live, and left them all there and hadn't ever hooked up to them or anything, hadn't plowed. Well, you see, what I was doing, when he'd hurry him, why, I would pick the rocks up off of them, you see. And I said to Joe, we hadn't plowed none, I said, Joe, I said, we have everything up there, and I said, there ain't a thing there I can do. And see, I'd stayed there with John, you know, for his there 20 years. And that was my hunting ground and singing. And I said to Joe, I said, Joe, what about me a singing till you plow and hurry it? And I said, I'll be off at noon. And I never did see the like of bear sign. And the cherries, there's after those cherries, you know. Well, when I got back up in there where the sang growed, those prisoners had been in there, you know, and deadened that timber and cut some of it and hauled it out. You couldn't hardly get to it, and it kind of growed up in a thicket you couldn't see real good. So I sang and never found none at all. And I stopped in a beech patch and smoked, but I could just barely hear the tractor. So after I smoked, I said to myself, well, I left my dinner in the Jeep. Said to myself, I'll go to Joe. And so I got up and taken around the hill just a little ways. And I came to a big holler there was. And there's a big log laid right up and down the holler. And I looked down there, and the berries is late in the fall. And I saw two pods of berries. And it growed in patches there. So I just jumped down over the bank and thought maybe I'd found a patch. And there's four bunches of it. I dug that thing. And then, you know, usually when you find a sang that way, you surround it, you know, and hunt for more, you know. Generally, there's some grows around it. But I went to the end of the log. It was a big high log, about that high. And it didn't look so good above the log. So I turned around, came back to where I dug that sang. And I stopped right there. And I heard something. And I heard this deer. And I had a little stick about that long. What they called a sang stick. Kearns knows what it is. And so I heard this noise in the leaves. And I just stood still, you know, on that log. And I thought this deer, and I heard deer coming right at me. And when it come out, I'll come about. Hit it right close to me, right up to me. And never saw me, and I was standing just as fair as your hand. She never seen me or nothing. As long as you don't move in a deer's sight, or a turkey, or a bear, they won't hardly ever see you. And she taken right down over at me. I wasn't over five steps. She had to come to me. And I'd never seen none but her now, just the one bear. And I just said to myself, it didn't scare me because I'd saw lots of them in the woods, you know, helped trap them and everything. And I said to myself, well, I'll just not let you come right down on me. But never drop about her having cubs. And I just threw that stick up in my arms and barked like a dog. And boy, that thing, quick as you could snap your finger, turned right around on that bank now and hit it, putting it straight up and down. And just started like a hog, just fetched a snort. Two cubs went up a sugar and one up a beech. And I know right then maybe I was in danger then, you know. And she just turned right back around and faced me. They went clean into the top. And I just said to her, I said, come on down here, I said to her. I hadn't got scared yet, and I never did till after I went to running. She just opened her mouth and here she come. I seen she was gonna come right on to me. I just stood there. But I had that stick drawed, ready, you know. And what I made up my mind while I was standing there, if she made any attempt, I aimed to hit her and then run just as hard as I could, fall off the other side of the bed. She come right there with her nose and that fur from my feet. Just looked me right up and down. I never even moved. And when she went to leave me, she never turned around or nothing. She backed right back up the bank and went right up to where the two cubs had climbed that tree and just turned right around, just kept her eye right on me. I eased one leg down off of the far side of the log. Comfort and I'd have fallen. I started backing up the other side. Backed up in some beach. It was about, three quarters of a mile to the creek, to the deep road. I got out of her sight. I showed her a man that could run. Not a bit of use for a man to run from one of them things, because, you know, I've hunted them ever since I was a boy. Dogs and traps, and they're quick, they can outrun or anything. Well, they can outrun there for a little ways, but they can't hold up.
Is it true that they can't run downhill?
They roll.
They can't. Yeah, they can't.
They roll.
So if you got to run, the best thing to do is to run down.
Yeah, you don't want to never run from one. My dad taught me that. He was a bouncer. I had two dogs. Told me never to run from one that little. So I didn't. I stood right there.
Who did I tell that?
Well, Mike is the one who told me about it.
Well, I was talking to Mike about it. Well, so how it was, Pete on Saturday night, they wanted him to come play the fiddle, you know, on Saturday night. Well, Pete wouldn't play on Sunday now. He wouldn't play at his own house on Sunday on the fiddle. They'd come and want him. He wouldn't play. He told him, he said, I'll go play till 12 o'clock. And by jings, he said, now that's as long as I'm playing. Well, they went and they played on. 12 o'clock come and they had a dancing. This fellow said to him, he said, play us another set anyway, Pete. Well, Pete said, if the guinea played for the other set, he said, say, I'm going on 1 o'clock. He said he played for that set. Well, then they wanted another set played for. Pete said, now, I told you wouldn't play on Sunday. He said, it's Sunday morning now, he said. Oh, they said, you can play this set. And they kept on. Well, of course, Pete was there playing music, and the more money he made there, the more he got. So if he played that set for that set, he got more money. They promised to give him so much. Pete said, well, he thought he'd play for it. He said he went to playing for the set, and he said, by jings, he said, I don't know, I just played the devil on the woodpile. And he said, there's a dancing. He said, they had a big time of dancing. And he said they played that set and they never stopped. By jings, he said they just twirled on over on another figure, went to call it. Well, he said, I was sitting there playing. He said, I played for them to call that. He said, and the coal lot figure, he said, I told him, now, by jings, that's enough. He said, I just walked and put my fiddle in the case. Said they paid him for the night playing. He come home. It was about 2 or 3 o'clock when he got home, I think. Sarah was in bed, that's his wife. So he just had a place he hung his fiddle up on another case again the wall on a peg. He had an old peg he hung it up on. It wouldn't fall off, you know. But he went to bed. But he said before he went to bed, the kids, he walked in to say, the kids is all asleep. There's another room. He said, there's all asleep. He said, I come back in. I said, sir, he said, by jings, he said, I'm going to eat a bite before I go to bed. He said, I'm hungry. Said he went in, opened up the cupboard, said they had an old cupboard, and he got a sandwich and eat it. Said he cut his clothes off and went to bed. Now he said, I just got into bed, and he said, I was just about half asleep. And he, by jings, he said, that fiddle started. He said, I never heard nothing like that in my life. And he said, it was a playing the piece that I played for today, The Devil on the Woodpile. Said, I got up out of the bed now. He said, I never put on my clothes. Lit the light, had an oil light. He walked, he said, and fiddle wasn't a-moving. Said, he just tucked the case down. They tucked the case down. They set an old side table where the fiddle hung. He just set it down on that and throwed the case open. He said, that fiddle was just plain. He said, that is just as pretty as ever you hear The Devil on the Woodpile in your life. Well, they had a fireplace, and there's fire in the fireplace. He said he stood there and listened at it. Now he said, it wasn't just me hearing it. He said it waked all the kids in the room. They got up, thought I'd went to playing the fiddle. He said he played it, and when he played it, he said he just played it just as nice as, oh, better, he said, than I could play it. He said, I just shut up the case and fastened it and just walked and laid it in the fire, fiddle, case, and all. And Sarah said, what are you doing, Pete? Now, by jings, he said, he'll not play The Devil on the Woodpile anymore for me. And he never would play on Sunday. No, sir. Now, after he burnt his fiddle up, you couldn't get him to play the fiddle. No, he wouldn't touch one.
Never again.
No, sir. Edden went there and tried to get him to play. No, now, by jings, I told you, Ed, I've quit. Now, he said, never a fiddle plays like that, he said. I've quit. Well, Sarah's told me, and all there's Dick and Pete and Charlie, all them told me that thing. And the girls, and they said that is just as pretty a piece as ever you heard The Devil on the Woodpile played. So that fiddle just sounded like hit us Pete sitting right there knocking her off. And Pete said, now by jings, he said, I laid my hand over on the fiddle to see if it was a trembling or jarring. He said it was not moving. He said there was nothing. And he said, everyone in the house. Now, he said, now, if it had just been me listening at it, he said, I'd have thought something was wrong with me. But by jings, he said, sir, he got up out of the bed and come right over to the fiddle where it was playing. And so did Fanny and Dick, his boy, one of the boys and one of the girls. Said they walked right over, standing looking at it. And he said, now, it played that. And he burnt the fiddle up. Here's an old one. And he told Ed, and he said, that's the last I'm playing the fiddle, and he never would play anymore. No, sir. And he never did own another fiddle, another. He wouldn't get one. The boys had one. Chip, that is Dick and them, they played it. Charlie played left-handed. Grover, he could play them. They all played them. But now you wouldn't get Pete to play her. No, sir. And I'll bet you a quarter that you'd go to playing Ed and start playing The Devil on the Woodpile, Pete'd get up and go out of the house. He would not sit in there, no, sir. See, Fanny and Pete, Ed and had played the fiddle and banjo together. She played the banjo. Well, that Devil on the Woodpile, that is a great piece. Everybody wanted it. Well, Fanny'd go to pick it on the banjo and Ed'd play it on the fiddle. Uncle Pete'd get up and walk out of the house.
Do you know the tune?
Huh?
Can you play the tune on the banjo?
No.
Do you know it?
No, I never could. Yes, I know, but no, sir, I never could play it.